G'day, punters. Welcome to Richo, Brownie and Hummer. Minus Hummer, you got Paddy in the hot seat here today. Just going to throw it out here. Hummer is down with the Dahl, getting the old cucumbers on the eyes, getting the old hot rocks on the back of his spine down at the hot spring. So he's asked if I can come in at a little bit of late notice. Have you guys ever done that before?
Absolutely not. So Hummer can't be here because he's down at the Peninsula Hot Springs. Well, Pat, I'm going to tell you right now, that was a great intro. That's the best intro we've had in 3 years in this show. And there is a job on offer right now. That sort of commitment is just not on for Hummer, is it?
It's unbelievable. Hummer, we're only into, what, round four this week? Round he already four? Needs a rest down at the Hot Springs.
He's not your hardest worker in the world, mate. Let's be honest.
Paddy, you should be up and about, mate. Well, what about the D's?
I know. We'll just keep my powder dry for now.
There was a lot of people wanting to host this today. You know, had Felix von Hoff trying to get in there. Wally was knocking the door down. Wally's on leave this week. He actually said, I'll come back from leave and I'll host it. Okay, I'll give up a day of leave. And we ended up having to go with Pat. Nah. He's done a great job
good
to start
have you,
with.
Paddy.
No, thank you. Who would have thought Hummer, the man with the big tough stickers, is down there getting the pamper, the Manny Petty. That's what he said to me on the phone.
Incredible.
Fair dinkum. Have you been, fellas? Big round of footy, round four. The sizzle is back, I think.
Footy's good, isn't it? Footy's good. Footy's going really well at the moment. And there was a few games the last couple of years you go to and it's hard work getting through a game, and you sit there and you think you get the luckiest job in the world to go to a game, call a game every week, and there was just sometimes it was hard work. But the first three rounds this season, particularly with the big forwards and the big bags being back, it's great to see, and it's such a good part of our game. Big forwards, just excitement machines.
I'd forgotten what the big forward actually adds to the game. It's been so dour over the last few years. You know, guys kick three and four and we're getting excited. But when you're at a ground and a guy's going for 10 goals like Josh Bruce was at the weekend, the anticipation in the crowd, the cheer squads get into it, it was just incredible. And then Harry Mackay did the same thing, and Tex. Oh, Tex is the best player in the comp at the moment, the way he's playing.
Could he kick 100 goals?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Come on,
it's a big, big ask.
He's going to have to average pretty much tick under five a game. So
the Adelaide Oval all running onto the ground for the big
Texan. It would be good. It would be good.
I just think as the year goes on, Nate, it will slow down a little bit. The teams,
will it though? Does it have to? That's what people are saying.
I think it will.
They're saying it has to slow down, but at the moment it's open.
It's a big ask, though, and I don't think a coach actually wants his number one forward to kick 100 goals. It does become a little bit more predictable.
Oh, come on. I don't think that's quite true.
And what I loved about
I think Matty Nix would be very happy if Tex can kick 100.
Right. Luke Beveridge's coaching too. When he realised that Josh Bruce was opportunity to get to 10 goals, he pushed everyone up and Luke Bruce had space like you haven't seen in a long time.
David Teague didn't do that, though. Harry Mackay was on 7 goals with 10 minutes left in that game. So you looked at the clock and you thought, he can do this. He can get 10. He came to the bench for 5 minutes.
Come on, Teague.
It was like when Fev was stranded on 99 for the year, but that wasn't more the Carlton coach.
Alistair Clarkson put numbers behind the fleet that day.
Do you think Fev ever kicked 10 in a game?
No.
I was surprised on the
Eight
weekend.
Was his biggest?
Yeah, nine against Richmond. But when Mackay was gunning for that 10, we looked it up and I thought Fev was the last Carlton player to kick 10. Never kicked 10, Fev. That surprised me.
Interesting. Yeah. Tex, can he win the Brownlow, or is he at least in the lead at the moment, Brownie?
He's in the lead at the moment. I'm doing my own Brownlow this year, and I've got him on 8 votes so far, Tex. So he gets 3 against Geelong. He gets 3 on the weekend, clearly. The middle game, when they lost to Sydney, he kicks 6. But you look at Sydney, and it's not a big win. It's a 33-point win. No one from Sydney stood out. I think the most possessions is 27. I think the most goals is 3. So you look at it, and the umpire's got to have a look at Tex. He's kicked 6. And
he would have got 2.
Obviously a chance for 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So he's on 8 votes. I think Dustin Martin got a clear 6 votes in the first 2 games. So he's around the mark. Tom Mitchell, Clayton Oliver started well. But right now, Tex, I think he's 2 votes clear in the Brownlow. And he's gone from about 40s in the Coleman into favouritism at $4.
Big Texan. I like it. Speaking of big men, have you been watching Making the Mark on Amazon?
I have.
Yep.
Nick Natanui sleeps on the floor.
That was incredible. That was the biggest scoop to come out of that, wasn't it?
I was watching it last night, isn't it? And I was like, hang on, did I see that correctly? And then they went back to his hotel room at the end of the episode and he's waking up on the floor.
It's got to be something to do with his body, doesn't it?
So he wakes up and then ruffles the bed up so the cleaners don't think he's weird. did see?
That's been polite. I like that. Maybe he's too long for them. He's massive.
I was on the floor for about 3 hours last night with my daughter trying to get her to sleep, and it wasn't that comfortable, trust me.
That is eye-opening to me, to be honest.
We've got to follow up.
I think we do.
Talk to him about it, I reckon.
Oh, get him on here and ask him if he sleeps on the floor. He might be able to sleep on the table. We never know. The Swans are flying.
Yeah.
Knocked off the Tigers.
Three Rising Star nominations in the first three rounds. The Chad got it this week. Wicks didn't even get the nomination, and he was best on in the coaches' votes.
Yeah.
So, and they've still got Wicks to get one and Logan McDonald. They could get five Rising Star nominations.
So in the same vein, you're talking about the game will slow down, the big forwards will slow down. Do you think Sydney will slow down? Because they've obviously won their first three and they've knocked off the reigning premiers. Yeah. Not only knocked them off, but I think they absolutely served it up to them.
The second quarter was incredible. They kicked eight goals against the reigning premiers. Look, I think with those five young players I'm talking about, that's a quarter of your team that are in their first year. At some point, I think,
Young players do slow down. They get fatigued.
You can't play well every game as a young player. So they're going to have a patch this year where they quieten down. But 3-0, you've got to do a fair bit wrong now not to at least play finals. 12 wins.
Third year, I reckon. So he's got
He mightn't be eligible for the Rising Star.
I think Warner's in his second year maybe. Yeah. So, but I mean, doesn't it show you that you get the right people into your footy club and it can change very, very quickly? So they've already got a lot of young players like Blakey and Heaney and Dawson and these guys. But add three fresh players like Port Adelaide have when they had that super draft a couple of years ago. It's not a super draft. They've just drafted really well. They weren't high draft picks either.
Tell me, Nate, Dom Pike's come across to the Swans. What was Adelaide's best feature when they were the best team in 2017?
Scoring.
Their ball movement and scoring. I reckon Dom Pike's had a fair bit to do with it as well.
Yeah, well, Isaac Heaney, that little wheel around on the left from 45 just to go a few points, that was pretty handy. On the flip side of that, Richmond's premiership mould, they tend to lose an early one and lose pretty comfortably. Is it no need to worry?
They do this
Richmond
every year. They do this every year. They've won the premiership. They got belted by Hawthorn in round three last year. They lost
Giants
round four. So, and St Kilda, the one where they won the premiership in 17, they got belted by 80-odd points.
Well, in 17, they won their first five games. They then lost the next four games. Mm. They were 5-4. So you can't write them off, but I will say one thing. The manning of the markers hurt Richmond because they were the best at it. They used to force a lot of turnovers off just manning of the mark. They rely on an intercept game. It's harder to score off intercept now because there's more holes. So they've got to make a few adjustments.
Another side who maybe the new rules are affecting, the Cats. Are they holding on for too long now? Sean Higgins is out as well next week.
I'm not prepared to make a big call on the Cats. What are you
it's tough to write a side off who is as stacked with talent as the Cats. The one thing that I will say is the rules of the new rules have gone against them. Some sides have added and been great on the outside. Where the Cats, when you watch the Cats, and I watch them closely against
they're
the
not
Hawks,
a quick team.
They're not a quick team, but they are very much a kick mark team. Even against the Hawks late the other day, I reckon there was about 7 or 8 just short passes, mark the ball, get back off the mark. And that always works. That has always worked for them. But with how open the game is now, it's slowing the game down. And they're getting scored against the other way if they turn it over.
Yeah.
So North Melbourne played a game style, which was 2019, and they came up short against the Bulldogs by 128 points. The Cats probably need to tinker. And I think Chris Scott has shown in the past that he's happy to tinker with things.
Yeah,
like he started Joel Selwood out on the wing. He started Gary Ablett at half forward. So he's happy to make the changes. And I think he'll go back, he'll look at it and go, what changes we need to make? And hard to knock the Cats at the moment with how much talent they have.
No, they were clearly the best team last year. You're right, Nathan. They need to tinker a little bit like Richmond. You've got to remember with Richmond and Geelong as well, playing in the grand final, they started training a month after everyone else. That's a lot of training. All the teams would have been training this man on the mark over summer. So a month's less training doesn't help. So I'm not writing them off. You just want us to because they're playing the D's.
They'll beat the D's. D's will win this week. The D's will beat the Cats this week.
Is it a panic button press for the Cats if the D's do beat the Cats this week?
Not really, because they're going to be they're two and one. So they'll be 2-2. Almost fell over the line against the Lions, obviously. Mm. But 2-2, nothing wrong there.
Speaking about falling over the line against the Lions, Zach Bailey made a tackle on Blitzarves that day. Should have been paid. It wasn't. But the karma gods came around and said, all right, Zach, have a shot from 40 metres out directly in front after the siren. He went back and put it right through the middle.
Didn't look like missing.
You could have put 5 goalposts in the middle and it still would have gone through the middle.
Don't you love it in a big moment? And I did have a chuckle when you were out there and you've gone out and you're interviewing the coach.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite understand your question the first time.
No, he didn't.
In a big moment, you just wanted to get it in there and you've had to roll with it again.
I know.
Geez, I laughed.
Oh, you thought
I knew
was
that
good.
Was doing your head and you're like, oh, you didn't understand
you know
my
what
question.
I know what I thought in the spur of the moment. When he didn't hear me, I said, oh, there's a bit of irony in Zach Bailey having the shot after what happened the week before. Mm. And when he sort of looked at me and said, what? I thought, Was it Zach Bailey the week before?
Unbelievable. Been, great scenes.
How many shots after the siren do you think there have been in VFL, AFL history to win a game?
52.
Well,
it's been around all week.
You
mate.
Could have built
it's
it up.
It's been around all week.
That's it. I thought there would have been more than that. Only 52 in the history of the game.
Give me your most memorable or best ones, you reckon?
Oh, the Blighty's got to be the biggest
one. That's the most replayed one, Malcolm Blight.
The Torpy. Yeah. The Torpy at Princess
Park. Recent times? I reckon for a younger audience?
The ones that I rate the highest are the ones in finals.
Yep.
And Gary Buchanara, now I know it was 30 metres out on a slight angle, 1987, after the siren, to kick your fifth, to put the Hawks into a grand final.
It's about 40, yeah.
Yeah. The pressure in that, though, the pressure inside your own mind to put yourself into a grand final. So probably Bucky's. The other one, Luke Shuey had one over at Adelaide Oval.
In a final against the Tigers.
That's big.
The ones where Nunes and Robbie Gray kick those ones from the boundary,
I don't think
they're not expected, not as expected to kick them because they're up against the boundary. So you can just have a ping, but the pressure when you're 25 metres out directly in front, I wouldn't be backing you in from 30 metres out directly in front after the siren.
No chance. I would prefer the Jack Nunes shot than the one Buchanara had.
If you missed... If you miss it.
You meant to miss it.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever played in a game with one?
I haven't. I've been standing in the terrace down in Geelong when Zach Tui kicked that one after the siren.
Yeah, yeah.
Days. We were 30 points up in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I beelined out of the ground, went straight to a pub, bought a beer. All these Geelong fans came in. I went to the cubicle by myself and drank the beer and then went to the V-line and caught the train home by myself. That's how depressing it is if you're on the back end.
I've been involved in a few, but the most memorable was the Jordan McMahon one against Melbourne, where Melbourne tanked the game and obviously trying to get draft picks and the Demons.
Wouldn't history be different if Geordie didn't kick that? Richmond probably don't get Dustin Martin.
Oh.
Think about it.
Oh, well, that's a funny thing, footy.
Because Melbourne, of course, drafted Trengove and Scully. Richmond get Martin at three.
Hey, let's not talk about that. Anyway, you saw something come across your desk midweek. What was it?
Yeah, I did. Look, Nate does a lot of integration, a lot of things on
very
TV, busy. Doesn't he? He's on
very busy.
The Channel 9 Sunday Footy Show. Obviously, all the stuff you do here at Sportsbet.
The all-conquering Sunday Footy Show.
Yeah, the all-conquering and all the crosses that he has to do with all the various media outlets. Now, we do the AFL previews every Thursday morning. We do 9 games, and Nathan has a lot to think about in the presentation of this. One thing he probably shouldn't do, though, Paddy, is the weather.
Both these sides have shown really good scoring in the opening round, so over 168. I think you should, barring some pretty bad weather, but I think it's meant to be okay. I watched Jane Bunn the other night. Very, very good weather presenter. Let's start that again.
Where are you possibly going?
I got no idea. You know when you start talking.
Very, very good
and
weather.
I had an idea that I was going to say you need to watch the weather to get the total points over and under.
Yeah, I know
you need
to
understand when the weather and that rain might start. And it just popped into my head that I'd watched Jane the night before and I thought I would roll that out. And halfway through it, it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't making any sense and I just had to stop.
You just came in for the landing a little bit too hard.
Normally when you're talking about the weather, you're talking about if there's going to be a little bit of rain or it's going to be dry or humid. Nathan, just very, very good weather.
Oh, from very, very good weather to very, very good food.
We like this, Paddy.
You found something that's on the shelf somewhere.
I rate myself as a bit of a food critic, if you didn't know. And occasionally, Nate, we have a recommendation here on Richo Brownie and Hum. Now, this week, this is magnificent.
George Columbaris, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I love a bit of dip, right? I love, some crackers and dip and a bit of cheese. And seriously, if you like your dip, Nate, have a go at this one here, the crunchy parmesan from Marissa's Kitchen. It is absolutely sensational.
I've actually had this one, Matt, and I couldn't agree with you more. I bought some of that in Bacchus Marsh with just some crackers.
Yeah, just some crackers. A little bit of cheese as well, Patty.
Are you a dip man, Pat?
I like a dip. I'd dip into that, to be honest. It would be nice.
What's
I do like
favorite?
The tzatziki and the boring stuff, the hummus with the little
French onion.
Saffron in there sometimes.
They also
You put a little bit of chili or something in the hummus.
They also do roasted beetroot. Very nice, get around it.
I wouldn't really dive into that or anything, but that looks good. Maybe a new sponsor for the show. We saw a very funny, famous photo bomb the other day in the Cats-Hawks game.
Billy
Brownless was behind enjoying his 55th frothy of the game, and old Jeff Kennett was just watching the game unfold in front of his eyes. Didn't go the way he wanted.
People kept asking Jeff for photos, and it was at that point in the game where you just want to watch the game. You don't want to be getting a photo with someone.
And Bill was photobombing from the back, so it was funny.
Oh, told Jeffy, piss off everyone, he would have been saying. But it made me think, any famous people along your footy journey or even after footy, have you met any real famous people?
I have, Pat. I have. Most famous person I've ever met was Michael Jackson. So,
how did you meet
Michael Jackson?
I'm just about to tell you. That's what a story is. You know, well, I say the name and then I tell the story. I don't expect you to jump in and go, oh, where did you meet him?
I find it hard, Matthew, it's in the rundown.
I'm about to tell you where I met him.
I find it hard that you could have got to Michael Jackson, the security that
I'm going to tell you how it happened. Here, good. Buckle yourself in. So we're over there, and this was the day
in New York.
This is the day September 11 happened, and I've got people that can verify this.
Righto.
Luke Darcy, Tony Liberatore, Simon Garlick, and Craig Ellis, all teammates. So September 11 has happened. It's still in the morning, still before midday, and we are walking back up to Luke Darcy's brother's place up the other end of Manhattan.
Just to chip in, how eerie was it feeling in New York that morning?
Tanks rolling in the streets. Like normally you got six lanes of traffic, nothing. So the whole city, you couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. No trains going, no nothing, no buses. So we were 70 blocks up to Matt's place. So we had to hightail it. And so we're walking, there's nobody around, absolutely nobody. And we walk past a theatre. So we're going through the theatre district. Michael Jackson walks out, right? He's got a limo there waiting. He's got a mask on, everything. He's got some security. And I said, Michael. And he said, hey, how you going? And I said, good, thanks. So I've met Michael Jackson.
On September 11th, New York is in crisis.
No one around. And Michael Jackson walks out. And I could have touched him. I was that close to him.
He would have been going straight to an airport on a private plane to get out of there.
It was freaky.
I thought you were going to say he went, oh, g'day, Nathan. How about you, Richard?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was in Los Angeles visiting a good mate of mine, and I was going home the next day. So it was my last night in LA, and I wanted to catch up with a mate of mine who's an actor, and I know a lot of the Aussies go over there to act. A guy called Kick Gurry, you heard of Kick?
Yeah.
Looking for Ella Brandy.
Richmond supporter.
Richmond supporter, good guy, Kick. Been in LA for years. I think he's actually back in Melbourne.
We're hanging out with your cousin, Julia Roberts.
No, I didn't catch up with Julia. No, I will next time.
Did
now
you know that Matt's related to Julia Roberts?
I am,
Very
Patty.
Interesting. I have heard whispers of this, actually.
Yeah, I'll catch up with her next time. So anyway, I'm catching up with Kick. He lives over in the valley, you know, so I'm staying in West Hollywood. So I've got the Uber over down the canyon into the valley, get to Kick's house, and we're just having a couple of beers. And I said, what are we doing tonight? And he said, oh, well, I've got a little bit of Hollywood spice for you. And I went, Hollywood Spice. I start thinking, we're going out for a massive night. You know, we're going into some nightclub. I said, mate, I don't want a big night. I'm flying home tomorrow. Let's just go out for dinner. He said, trust me. He said, we're heading down to Malibu for dinner. I said, that sounds good. Never been down to Malibu for dinner. That'll be nice. So we're waiting. He's got a mate coming over to pick us up. So his mate knocks on the door. I open the door. He walks in. I'm thinking, gee, that guy's familiar. This isn't the best part. It was Emil Hirsch. You heard of Emil Hirsch?
Yeah.
Into the Wild? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, this is pretty cool, Emil Hirsch. So I'm trying to act all, you know, cool and not trying to act like I've just recognised another Hollywood star. So we go out, jump in his car, and we're driving down to Malibu, and it's probably about a 45-minute drive. And
what sort of car did he drive?
It was like an Audi sedan.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're listening to a bit of music, chatting. I'm trying to act all cool in the back seat.
What sort of music were you playing?
He's playing a bit of Eddie Vedder, actually.
Okay, no worries. Did you tell him you got his pick?
I didn't tell that story because I was trying to be cool.
Surprising. No.
Anyway, so we're driving down, and we come over and the hills, and we're driving down into Malibu, and you can see the water, you can see Malibu down below, and we're coming down, winding down, and we pull off into like this gated community with a lot of big houses, and I'm like, what are we doing here? And the boys say, no, we just got to drop in here for a minute and we'll head down for dinner. So we pull up at this house, big Hollywood house, you know, gated mansion. We ring the buzzer. A lady comes out, answers the door. We walk in. They knew this lady. They were on good terms with us. So I thought, oh, we're just at another mate of theirs' house. We walk in through the front door, out into the kitchen. I walk out and I say, geez, I know that bloke. And he's looking at me. It was Sean Penn.
Ooh.
So now I'm even trying to be cooler. I'm in Sean Penn's kitchen. We've stayed at Sean Penn's, had a barbecue. He's cooked us up steaks. We're watching YouTube clips with him. I thought that was pretty cool.
The Hollywood
that
spice.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah. And just as we're about to leave, we're sitting in his lounge room, and I look at like the mantle next to the TV, and there's the two Oscars just sitting there.
Unbelievable. You got me covered. My best would be Shane Warne at Elston Wynn Macca's at 4 a.m, to be honest. So,
long story, wasn't it?
Speaking about 4 a.m.
I like the story.
Oh, you've met Sean Penn?
No, I haven't.
See just, how he didn't want me to top his Michael Jackson
story? There's just
story?
Certain parts of your story that you don't need to include.
What?
Like the part where you rang the buzzer. No, shit, mate. You're going to ring the buzzer.
We might have jumped over the fence.
Isn't that what a story
is? Evaded the tiger that was hiding in the front garden. Speaking of being out to 4 a.m., rumours circulating that a member of the media might have
We're rolling with he's had a sickie on Sunday because he did the Saturday game.
I wondered what Bernie was doing.
With the Saturday rub. And so we had Bernie Vince in on Sunday. So I get a text message in the morning that Duck's not. And I can only imagine that when you call in sick on a Sunday, like, are you really sick? So that was a question we posed all day. So we're not breaking any news here.
Sunday arvo, you don't turn up. There's always a question mark, isn't there?
Well, when Bernie told us that he had dropped him off in Chapel Street after the Saturday game and he had a tight white boys youth 16 white T-shirt and like wears them really tight in summer and wears, what's he wear in winter? The knits, the V-neck knits, and they are tight. So he's dropped him off there, but then he could not do radio on Sunday. So to
have a look at this story, he's dropped Duck off in Chapel Street.
In Chapel Street.
With going out kid on at 11 o'clock and Duck didn't turn up Sunday.
Duck didn't turn up the next day.
Well, if you got it reading between the lines, then you just have to hazard a guess.
Where might have ended up. Is your best sickie? Have you ever been caught out either having a sickie or having a lie obviously Hummer being down, not doing this today, being down wherever he is?
Yeah, I did after my 21st. Long time ago, Paddy, 1996, had obviously a big party. All the Richmond boys come along, but we had a family day on the next day at Punt Road because it was the weekend before round one. Traditionally, there's always a family day at Punt Road. I've woken up at 10 a.m. on the Sunday morning. Family day is starting at 10 a.m., right?
So sunny's on.
I know I'm going to be late. So I look at it's the only time I ever missed a football training run because we had a little jog and then the family day. I looked at my watch. I'm like, 10 a.m., I've missed it. There's no point going down now, so I just didn't go. Robert Walls was our coach, got hauled in on the Monday, and he actually, to his credit, he said, look, I understand it was your 21st, but don't ever do that again, and he fined me $500.
$500? Okay.
Which was a lot of money back then when you weren't earning much.
No.
Did you do anything similar?
Yeah, my first pre-season, so your first pre-season's always hard. When you move down from the country, I was a Bendigo boy, and it's just hard work. We were training at 6 a.m. three mornings, so we're doing 5 days a week and Saturday mornings.
Was it full-time then or were you working as well?
It just started full-time, so I was, but every morning, 6 till 10, it was footy. It was a full session, footy, running, and then weights in the afternoon. And then on the off days, you're just doing weights. So it was full on. And I was hating it. Like, it was hard as I've never trained that hard.
Because you weren't the fittest beast then, were you?
No, and I was still only 18, so I've just got down from Bendigo.
Long hair still?
Long hair, yep. And had the long hair. And the Bendigo Cup was coming up. And all my mates were going.
Can you imagine him at the Bendigo Cup?
And I thought it would be pretty good. I've just got drafted. I'm pretty keen to get back to Bendigo and go to the Bendigo Cup. And I went into the player's office and I said, I've had a death in the family and just need to go back to Bendigo.
Are you serious?
And he looked at me and he goes, no worries, no problems. And then I went out and trained that day. So he brings me back into my office before I left. So it was the day before I was going to Bendigo. And he goes, look, he goes, I didn't come down in the last shower. He goes, I know that you're going to the Bendigo Cup. He goes, you might have a death in the family. You might be having a funeral, but I don't want to say you're not. But he goes, I know you're going to go to the Bendigo Cup. And he goes, I'm going to give you a pass once.
He let you go.
He goes, I know how hard it is at the moment. Young kids coming down. I'm going to give you a pass.
He goes,
don't ever ask for this again. So I went to the Bendigo Cup and I thought, how good is this? So went to the Bendigo Cup. Got back for training the next day, had a big training session. So it was another 4-hour training session. And we got to the end of the training session. And I thought, how good is this? How good is that? You know, I've been a great coach. I've been able to go away. None of the boys know. And then he goes, all right, boys, let's hit the showers. He goes, Brownie.
You just
wait here for a minute. And he got the fitness coach, Mark Smythe, and he goes, just remind Brownie that he didn't actually train yesterday. 10 400s, right? Oh, and I had a minute between each one, 10 of them. There's extra 4Ks at the end, and I vomited by the end of it, but it was worth it. It was a good day, the Bendigo
Cup. Good on him that he let you go.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that all the boys brought him in and said, oh, Nathan actually has something to confess here. He was at the Bendigo Cup.
No, he never told him.
Paddy, I reckon that went for longer than my short story.
You're going toe for toe here. The gloves are off for the leap of the stories. It's great.
Mate, your Sean Penn story is that long, you'd be still talking about that other bloke that came in, Urschel or whatever his name is.
Emil Hirsch.
Yeah.
Pretty famous though, Sean Penn. 2 Oscars.
Very famous. Hey? Yeah.
I think Michael Jackson might have him covered slightly.
And did Michael Jackson cook him a steak?
No, then? That's
no,
true.
No, he didn't.
Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Paddy, this is an annual doing my head in. It's that time of year again. It's big calls time in the media, right? It's round 3.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of big calls already. Now, I worked with Mick Malthouse for 1 year in the media when he had the year off before he went and coached at Carlton. And one thing he always said was don't make big calls until about round 8, 9 or 10, right? The ladder starts sorting itself out then. The good teams are clearly the good teams. You know, the poor teams are the poor teams. So don't make big calls, right? So that was a little lesson I took off Mick. I've tried not to do that, but I made a big one on the weekend. At halftime, when Harry Mackay had 4 goals, I said he'll kick 10, right, which was a big call. He kicked 7, so I didn't listen to my own news. The other time that I made a big call and it came back to bite me, the footy gods, was in 2005 after round 9. Nathan was on fire. He had 35 goals. I had 33. He'd had about 5 best on grounds in a row. We had a big day and we got in front of all our teammates and declared that he was going to win the Brownlow, I was going to win the Coleman, and we were going to win the Premiership, right? Mm-hmm. 6 days later...
It's at the Montague Hotel.
6 yeah. days later, he broke his leg and we won 2 games the rest of the year. So the footy gods. So these are just some of the big calls I've heard so far this year, Paddy.
I heard a big call from him on the podcast last week.
What was it?
Zach Butters will be the next Gary Ablett Jr.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. We'll start off with that one.
That's a long-termer.
I've got that one written.
That's
there.
A big call.
Is there a time frame on it? Can you give me some
just
years?
Career.
Just career. His career.
Okay.
So
got a long time to come to fruition, that one.
Yeah.
I think that's a big call. Before the season, Matt Rouse played 4 games of AFL footy. A lot of pressure on the kid. Can we just let him play? Before the season, one media pundit, I'm not going to name everyone. But
I think you should be naming names.
No, I might name a couple. Matt Rouse is going to win not only the Brownlow, but the Rising Star. He's going to be the first to do that. A couple of weeks ago, there was a big debate in the footy media. Who was going to win a game first, North Melbourne or Essendon? 6 days later, Essendon absolutely annihilates St Kilda, right? So you shouldn't make a big call that early in the season on
a
team.
Do you think North Melbourne will win a game?
I will, and that's the other big call. North Melbourne, I heard on the weekend, have been compared to Fitzroy in their last year. They're the worst team since Fitzroy in their last year, and that they won't win a game. North will win a game, okay? The last team to not win a game was Fitzroy in 1961. North Melbourne will win a game. That's a big call. One of the biggest calls was after round 1, Brody Grundy had a quiet game. He's 1 game into a 7-year contract. Brody Grundy's struggling. You know, they shouldn't have signed him to a 7-year deal. 1 game in. 1 game into a 7-year deal. North Melbourne are going to Tassie again. They're never going to Tassie. North Melbourne will not go to Tassie. So we make that big call every year. Don't make it again. Teams have worked Richmond out. In fact, the Swans have worked Richmond out. I heard the same thing last year when Hawthorn beat them, and I heard the same thing the year before in round 3 when GWS beat them.
You're not naming any names here, Matt.
Hey, do you want one?
Yes.
You want me to name someone?
I want a name.
Tex
Very
Walker.
Easy just to pick.
Tex Walker's on fire, right?
Yeah.
I love Tex. We're all happy that he's playing well, okay? And he is playing very, very well. But I heard David King say on the first crack on Fox Footy last week that we have never seen a player like Tex Walker inside 50.
Now, I think that's better. When you're putting a name to some of these things, that's better.
That's a big call.
There's been some pretty good inside 50 players.
Oh, look, I'll name a couple. Lockett, Dunstall.
Franklin.
Senior. In fact, Wayne Carey had the inside 50 named after him. Pagan's Paddock was named after. So we have seen a player like Tex inside 50, and I hope Tex continues to play well.
Why are you happy to mention David King and none of the others?
Because that was my favourite one. That's why. Texas, the same man might have also said Tex will kick 100. I hope he does. I doubt it'll happen. This one here, and you might agree with me here, Paddy.
Mm-hmm.
Cozzy Pickett is an absolute superstar, mm-hmm. right? How many games has he played?
He played 14 last year, so he's played 17 now.
17 games. Just let him play.
Yep.
He's not an absolute superstar yet, okay? He might be a superstar.
I actually heard someone say that Cozzy Pickett is changing the way the game is played.
A bit like Tex inside 50.
Yeah. He's playing a very good game and he's getting a lot of touches.
What's he changing?
But he's not, not changing a lot. He's just doing it very, very
He's
well
doing
at the
it
moment.
Very well.
Yeah, it's a big call.
There's been some good forward pockets in the history of the game. Jeff Farmer once kicked 9.5, right? So just let Cozzy play. He's not a superstar yet. Don't put all that pressure on him. And here, I'll name someone else. Mark Robinson, after the Richmond game, has said that the Sydney Swans are the next baby bombers after round 3. So that means the Swans are going to win the flag. Just don't. I reckon we've got to reserve our big calls to about round 8, 9, or 10.
The baby Swans.
All the journos are trying to get their big call out now. So if it does come to fruition, they're the ones that can
hang their hand up and go,
look at me. Also, I predicted the premier in round 3.
So that, but I reckon Brownies is one of the biggest, that Zach Butters will be better than Gary Ablett Jr.
Oh, I didn't say he would be better than Gary Ablett Jr. So let's not embellish what I said. I said Zach Butters is in the mould of a Gary Ablett and can be as good long-term as Gary Ablett. I never said better, but I did put them in the same sentence.
I reckon he said better.
You idiot.
That was a long explanation. Let's go to the Nuffy Jar. Oh, it's got a new name this week. It's renamed the Shitpost Jar. I wasn't told that in my ear, but play on. Yeah. What have we got, Brownie? Anything exciting? Well, just quickly before we do go, I know Hummer's been trying to get tailor-made for a long time. He got some chili oil he tried to get on board as well. He's been trying to get this clip, which I'm about to share. But, you know, he told me last night that I'm coming
in. He's been trying to get Triple M audio, and I told Triple M.
3 weeks.
It's not great audio. I'm not saying anything funny. It's actually unfunny, but I told Triple M not to give it up to Hummer.
Well, he told me about 24 hours ago that I'm doing the show. So I said, all right, let me try and get that Triple M audio that you can't get. And I put a couple of calls in, and lo and behold, here's the audio.
And apparently at Fox, and you can agree with me here, Chief, or not, but they don't call him Mark Howard anymore. They call him Mark, how would I be able to get more famous?
that's horrendous, Brownie.
See, you're laughing already, Matt. You're laughing already.
I'm not laughing.
It's not the greatest joke in the world.
I'm laughing at you.
And it went a lot better in my head when I was writing out the script. I was doing a top five of the great self-promoters.
Let yourself down. It was a good segment.
You know what I was,
ruined it with that.
You know what I was actually laughing at? Paddy, is there any way we can get that back up again? I just noticed something. Is that possible?
Can we play that again on the Nuffy Jar?
I'd love to see that again. Here
and
it is.
Apparently at Fox, and you can agree with me here, Chief, or not, but they don't call him Mark Howard anymore. They call him Mark, how would I be able to get more famous?
See, they all
That's
laugh.
That's horrendous, Brownie.
Oh, Nate.
Brownie. Do you see what I saw there, Paddy? Yeah, did you see the photo of Nathan? He's got a 50-cent piece gold sword under his lip.
And the knitted condom on the
chrome
dome.
You've been trying to get this, and you're laughing. You think it's funny, do you, Pat? You know, it was a good top five, and I made one poor joke. And now there's all sorts of things that go wrong. We saw the Jane Bunn clip before. Sometimes we make mistakes. Yeah. But there's a reason Hummer's not here today, and there's a reason why he has to get us rundowns on time. There's reasons why he's hardly given us anything this year so far.
To be honest.
He's been working, and you've been working so hard on an April Fool's Day joke. He's been sending that many emails about the April Fool's Day joke. Here it is. Let's put New South Wales and Queensland to debut sleeveless jerseys for Origin 1 in Melbourne. What are the thoughts? This was their big one. There was 77 emails going around. Here's some of the responses. Horrible effort, dumb, nice try. And 250,000 followers on Twitter, right? 250,000. There was 25 likes on this attempted humour. You wouldn't believe the amount of emails that went around this building that we got this April Fool's Day joke. And you were part of it, Pat. And it was an absolute titanic of a joke.
Didn't quite hit the spot, did it?
Oh, that's just Twitter. We went to perform well on Facebook.
I didn't see, like, every time we do funny stuff, and we do a lot of funny stuff here, and we retweet it and say, how funny is this? We send it around to the business, and everyone piles in and goes, oh, great job, boys. I didn't see too many emails going around. Post this one.
Are you saying it didn't trick anyone, Nate?
It made a few lists of, you know, top April Fool's gags and all that. But, look, we did do the photo shoot on the Monday, the April Thursday was April 1, and we did it on Monday, and we actually legitimately made these rugby jerseys, yeah. and we cut the arms off. But then just a bit of red tape came up, and we had to take all the logos off them, and it started to look a little bit fake.
Like when I started talking about Jane Bunn and the weather, you get into an idea, and you've got to understand
you
pull the handbrake up.
You pulled up, mate.
Yeah, these guys went through with it.
It was fine. It was good.
Hummer and Pat.
Good read in the paper. I enjoyed it. All right. It's no longer called the Trumpet Award. I still didn't understand the Trumpet Award. It's called the Richo Brownie Hummer of the Week. All right, Richo and Brownie, you know how it works. You've got three votes for the best on.
All right. Best on. I gave one vote to Zach Bailey to kick a goal after the siren, and it was a brilliant game. They come from the clouds and just joy.
It's one thing that I never did. I would have loved to have done it.
Two votes.
Did you kick one late in a game?
Oh, I would have kicked a lot late, Paddy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Not after the siren, though.
Kicked five late against Jimmy Clement one day in the last quarter. He still doesn't take that well. We tried to get him on radio one day. And
hasn't he? Won't he have a joke with it?
No. He told me to stop living in the past.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Anyway, two votes. Josh Bruce. 10 goals, unbelievable effort. And three votes, when you knock off the reigning premiers with young players and how exciting the Sydney Swans were, I'm going to give the three votes to Sydney.
Yeah, good stuff, Nate. In fact, I've agreed with you on all three today in a different order. That's the first time I reckon that's ever happened. I gave one to Josh Bruce, 10 goals, career best performance. He's given up the grog, Josh Bruce.
Off the gas.
And he's playing well.
That'll hurt him in the long run.
You reckon?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he said 100 days and he's 95 days into it and he goes, you know what, I'm gonna going to go the whole year now.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Mm. At least at the end of the footy season, you would have thought.
He's moving well, though.
He's moving well. I gave one to Josh Bruce. I gave two to Zach Bailey. Everyone who plays footy wants to do what he did. And I gave three to the Sydney Swans. That second quarter was as good a footy as you'll see. Yeah. They're very exciting. Very, very exciting.
Gave one vote. To a man that you're scared of and you clipped him, Alistair Clarkson.
I am scared of Alistair Clarkson.
Did the Geelong Hawthorn game and I was pretty keen on the overs in that game and two players behind the back for various
So was it
powers.
About your punting?
Pretty much, yeah. Right. Two players behind the footy. But then when he unleashed those two players and all of a sudden they got to 30 points down, I think, the Hawks, and all of a sudden get those two players back into the one-on-one.
Should have won that game.
And they should have won the game. So I don't see why we need two players behind the footy. Pat just goes for low scoring and boring footy. Two votes to Fremantle.
Yep.
I went into that game thinking they were pretty good against the Giants the week before. Yeah, they're missing that five, but I expect them to be better. I thought Carlton probably should have beaten them by 100 points. That's how bad Fremantle were.
Got a few injuries, though.
And three votes to North Melbourne. They've got a young side. And I feel for those players because I think the footy club has let them down in where the position they're in. So the hierarchy has let the players down. You're going to go to a game every week and think, are we going to get smashed today? And it's not a good mindset to be in for a player. But so the footy club as a whole for the Kangaroos.
Yeah, I've agreed nearly the same as well. Nate, I've gone... I didn't go Clarko again because I am scared of him. does he scare
you? He's got a couple of votes already, Clarko, now.
Not Clarko.
I gave one to St Kilda.
They were terrible.
Look, the Bombers had the youngest team in the competition in on the weekend, right? Youngest in games experience and age.
Smashed them.
And they lost Draper, Scheel and Caldwell going into that game with long-term injuries. And they absolutely smashed the Saints, who played finals last year. They're battling a bit the Saints. They've got to turn it around pretty quickly.
I'll give you Jake Stringer. Loses 7 kilos, fit. Surprise, he plays well. Yep. Josh Bruce, 7 kilos, surprise. And Tex Walker, noticeably thinner than last year and fit up, playing good football. So there's no rocket science to it, is it?
No, Jake played really well, kicked 4 goals. I gave two, and it wasn't Fremantle as a whole because I think they had some excuses. Got no height all over the ground except their two ruckmen, right? They're struggling for height, key back, key forward at the moment with all the injuries they've got. So they had to play one of their ruckmen as centre-half forward. And it just did not work. They just could not nullify Liam Jones, and he had an absolute field day. So I gave two to the Freo ruckman trying to play centre-half forward. Not all their fault. Maybe they were asked to do too much. And three to North Melbourne. When you lose by that much, you probably get the three votes.
No, I agree with all them. My best was Cozzy Pickett, just for the point. I reckon he was a superstar, 17 games into his career. I won't say any more. He's very exciting. He's quick.
He probably will be, but why do we have to say he's a superstar after 17 games?
I reckon he would have voted in the Brownlow the other night.
I reckon he would. I've been devoid of all sort of hope and all sort of excitement, and when we get a fiery little quick small forward, that goal he kicked where he intercepted, turned around, that was ball, went around his back and on the left and through the goal.
Does he remind you of Jeff Farmer?
Absolutely.
Maxi Gawn get the 3 votes on the weekend.
Gawn's last quarter was massive.
Or Petrarca. Yeah.
Petrarca had a quiet 29, I reckon, to his standards. But so yeah, no, we'll,
Gawn 3?
I think Gawn will get 3.
Who else?
No, he's given Cozzy's 3.
Cozzy would get 2, I reckon. Yep. And I think someone like Brayshaw or something might get the 1 in that game.
Just, it's interesting that they sent the tag to Oliver and not Petrarca. That was him.
Oliver's their big engine room, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that I'd always try and put the class down, though. I think you try and put away Petrarca before Oliver.
Mm, my worst from that was the vision switcher on the game. The cameraman was drunk in that game. Every time we'd go to a mark, the camera would be here and vice versa. It was all over.
Channel 7 or a Fox game.
I think the industry in general at the moment is struggling to get cameramen.
Yeah.
Get people around there, and I think they're plucking NRL people to do it. So I'll cut them some slack, but it was gave me a headache to watch.
We've actually got robot cameras in the Sunday footy show now.
Have you?
Yeah. So normally you got the camera operator and the robots now, and Bill thinks it's funny to go up and talk to the robot live on air. It is actually quite funny too when he does it. I reckon if I did it, it wouldn't be funny, but he does it and he makes it funny.
He can get away with it. Let's take a quick break. All right, into the previews now, boys. Big game here. The Power taking on your boys, the Tigs.
Both teams ordinary last week, both coming off losses, and both teams just got towed up around the footy. And one thing you're going to have to do better this year, competition-wide, is actually win the ball out of the middle and win the clearance battle, because it's harder to intercept and score from turnover because the ground is just bigger now. The whole ground's been stretched out. So one thing Richmond do is intercept and score, and Port do as well. But Port generally can win it around the ball. They didn't on the weekend. At Adelaide Oval, I think they'll be savage around the footy. Richmond have lost Prestia. They've lost Camden McIntosh, and they've also got Nick Floston still out. So I just think
players, aren't they? Yeah.
I just think Port at home will probably bounce back and have a win here.
This is the game last year where the bow and arrow, the archer, kicked that goal early and then made a beeline of 40 metres at Tom Lynch.
In the final.
Yeah, right. And then he got there, and I reckon he thought almost better of it and sort of just pushed him and didn't really go through
feeling in this.
Yeah. I think Port Adelaide win. I think just because it's a home ground. I think both sides will be stung and they'll come out, but those two players, McIntosh is a great, depth
gut
eighth midfielder, and Prestia, I think, is just as important to him as anyone else in that midfield.
It'll be on early here. Don't forget the prelim last year. This will be a real hot, this is a final sort of game.
Well, $1.60 to Port, $2.35 as we speak for the Tigers. Then we go to Mars Stadium, Ballarat. The Doggies taking on the Lions. The Dogs $1.51. The Lions $2.58, Richo.
Massive home ground advantage up there. If you haven't played there at Ballarat, it's probably going to be windy up in Ballarat. It's a hard ground to play. Mm. Remember, we had a game up there last year. The rain was coming in sideways. Or the year before, before COVID. Yeah, big one for Brisbane to go up to Ballarat and try and beat a red-hot Dogs. I think the Dogs probably quite comfortably.
Yeah, I think the Dogs. I think it'll be a pretty good game. Brisbane are going pretty well. I think they've been running really well. So they outrun the Cats in the second half and they run over the Magpies as well. So they'll think if they're within a couple of goals of the Dogs at half time, they'll think they can win the game.
Josh Bruce will have his, this is going to test his form up against Harris Andrews.
How many is he kicking?
Does Harris Andrews go to Norton or Bruce?
Who would you send him to?
Well, Bruce is the man on fire at the moment, so you're probably going to have to go to Josh Bruce.
That's the thing with the Dogs now. So if Andrews goes to Bruce, Norton, he's a very dangerous player. He might get off the chain this week.
But the Dogs have got the issue too with Gardner being out. They've got Zane Cordy they can bring back in, but their depth will be tested, the Bulldogs, because Joe Danaher's playing pretty good footy. I thought he was pretty good the other night. Eric Hipwood was brilliant the week before, didn't give much last week, but they're a solid forward line too.
And the final game we'll look at Sunday afternoon, the D's taking on the Cats at the G3.
I think the D's win this, Pat. I think you win. I think you're riding high at the moment. Confidence is high. The Cats, obviously, no Higgins. No danger field still. The way they move the footy, I think the Demons, the MCG, just about the lock of the weekend for me.
The Cats $1.62, the D's $2.31.
Yeah, it's hard to work that out because Melbourne are red hot as well. If it wasn't for the Doggies, I think Melbourne are just about the next best performed team at the moment, Paddy. So at the MCG, I just think you have too much run and gun for the Cats, but be closer than what you think. Are you going to roll up with the RMs and the Gant?
I'll be there, mate, with the skin tight jersey over my triple
XL jersey?
Front. No, definitely.
Last year you famously bet everybody that the Demons would finish in the top eight.
Yeah, I didn't do it this year.
Why didn't you do it this year? Would have been a good year to do it, I would have thought.
The mental state I put myself into.
You were part of that bet, weren't you?
I didn't collect. I felt bad.
It's still coming.
What's the uniform for the members? Is it the RMs?
Well, you've got to wear the collared shirt.
Yeah, that's collared shirt.
What is the Ralph Lauren polo?
Lauren? Well,
it depends what you can afford, but sometimes...
What do you wear?
I just wear a...
Well, I think most Melbourne supporters can afford
you get the RMs, the jeans, and then you get the scarf. I like to wear the little badge on the scarf as well, just to enough it up.
A few of them wear the Akubra too, don't they? If you really want to top it off.
Absolutely
not. Do you go up to the Frank Gray Smith and have a few?
My word, we do.
How good are the sausage rolls in there, by the way?
I reckon I've even seen Melbourne supporters like hang their ski lift pass out on their jeans.
Gee, so a good thing that the MCC do is that you can put money on your card and load it up.
Ah, right.
So all through COVID, I was just chucking $30, $40 a fortnight on my card and completely forgotten about it. And I've got a nice...
You're ready to go.
It's going to feel like a free day at the footy. So I'm looking forward to that on Sunday afternoon. Let's wrap it all up with Hummotheticals.
Did you do these, Pat?
Hummer said strictly, and he left it off the run sheet. He said, Hummotheticals is my segment. Don't bugger it up for me.
So you've come with fresh gear.
I've come with some freshies.
That's great.
But they're not the weird ones that Hummer just plucks.
Do they involve money? He always likes to have money involved with
it. The first one does.
That's okay. That'll be better than Hummer's.
I almost could have crowbarred in it a bit earlier. You were talking about, would your life depend on a set shot?
Mm.
Here's a hypothetical for you. Would you kick a goal from 45 metres out, set shot, on a 45-degree angle? Yep. If you kick it, there's a man standing there. He's the goal umpire. He's holding a briefcase with $2 million.
Yep.
If you kick it, you get the $2 million. If you miss, he puts handcuffs on you and you're going to the clink for 6 months. $2 million, 45 metres out, 45
Would you have a crack at it?
Would you have a go at it, or would you go, nah, I'll, I'm not interested?
Or if you miss, though, it's 2 years. In the
that's six months. Months in jail.
45-degree angle.
Yep. You're expected to kick it.
Are you on the right side or the left side?
You can choose.
What side would you take then?
Either. I'm kicking.
You're kicking it?
Yeah.
Straight through the middle?
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Take the $2 million straight into FET on crypto.
6 months in jail.
He's taking you straight from the G to jail, to Barwon.
In your footy boots.
Come on, Rich.
I think I'd do the stretch for my daughters.
You do it.
That pays for their schooling. That buys them a little investment property.
You'd have a crack.
Mm. I'm having a crack.
I like it.
Like it. Good
work.
You'd hate to hit the post, wouldn't you? Or just
how flat would you?
Or go for a review. Get the arc down.
If you hit the post, is it 3 months? You get 3 months off.
You've got to be able to block. I wouldn't be able to switch my mind off there. Were you good at being able to do that? Because I reckon Zach Bailey on the weekend, I don't reckon he overthought it at all. I don't think there was much going through his mind. It's the overthinkers that miss. Yeah. Yeah.
So the good thing about having nobody else there, because it's not in a game, right, you can dribble it through. You don't have to – it doesn't have to
No,
stipulate –
it would be the coward's way. There's a man on the mark. There's someone on the mark.
Oh, you didn't stipulate that.
Well, it's
okay.
You can fairly assume
even,
that
even in saying that, though, dribbling from 45 metres on a 45-degree angle is a lot of risk in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might just hit a little sprinkler head and jag left like a Shane Warne leg break. The second one, any sporting moment in the world, if it could be you, team or individual, barring footy and AFL stuff, what would it be? So you hit an ace to win Wimbledon or buzzer beater in game 7 of the NBA finals,
good.
Your moment.
Mate, good.
This is good.
What would it be?
You team go first, or
individual? I reckon winning the 100-metre sprint at the Olympics would be pretty handy.
You're Usain Bolt at the Olympics?
Yeah. Over, done with, quick.
Yeah. I've always loved getting up on the Monday morning, the last morning of the Masters.
Mm.
Now you get up early and you watch the last morning of the Masters, even back before we had, cable TV and stuff like that, Channel 9 would always have the last bit of the Masters on Monday morning. As a kid, I loved it. It just looks so good.
Yep.
I think I'd like to hit one into the 18th there and nail a big birdie to win the Masters.
I'd be very similar to you, I reckon, Richard. A big 20-footer.
Yeah.
Watch it go. A little bit of drizzle there in the rain.
Remember Adam Scott a few years ago?
Photo of the century.
That's why, as a kid, I was gutted in those Masters when Greg Norman got robbed.
Yep.
You know, when was it Larry Myers chipped in?
Stiff.
How flat were you for him?
You'd be very stiff. Good to see you both went the individual accolades there as well. Yeah. Not
we're
the
always going to. Hey, how good was Paddy?
You got more, is that it?
No, that's it.
That's it.
It just came with the two. Didn't I think come the
job's
with the
his. Yeah, I think the job's his, Matt.
Palmer, just stay down there with the cucumbers on the ice, mate.
Oh, very good. That's all. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
me. Good work, Pat. Well done.
If you are going to have a punt on anything in the footy or across the sports app, just do so in a responsible manner, and we'll see you next week.
That's it, Pat.
All right.
Good work, Pat.
Very good.